Steve, it's great to be on. And full disclosure, we did one of these from the home site where we were looking at it on the monitors, which is a very bizarre thing. I don't know if you're doing it like that, but we had the all 22 feed, and it really wasn't as bad as I thought. But obviously, there's nothing like being there personally. So that's the way I'd like to do the rest of them.
Yeah, Jack and I have put in the request to do it that way. We're still waiting word on it. So we'll find out probably before the week is out. All right, so let's get to Billy. No one has more wins in the history of the franchise that's above 500 than Bill O'Brien. And the schedule to open was about as tough as you get in the NFL. But was there a sense on your part that things weren't quite clicking for you early?
Well, I think that, you know, if I just look at what's on the field, right, they have a lot of talent, and I know there's a lot of controversy about the moves they made in the offseason and trading DeAndre Hopkins and everything, but it's not like they brought slouches in to fill those gaps, you know. It's kind of like the line in Moneyball where they're talking about replacing Giambi, and Brad Pitt says, we're not going to replace him, we're going to recreate him. You know, so they're trying to recreate DeAndre Hopkins with Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb, and these are outstanding professional football wide receivers, right? I mean, Cobb is just terrific in the slot, and he's the kind of slot receiver that O'Brien always wanted, and Cooks is a world beater. I mean, he's really good. I mean, he might not be a top five guy in the league, but he's right up there. And you think about it, he's been traded for a one, and a two in his life, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out at his previous destinations, and it's not because of his character or playing ability. It's usually cap reasons or whatever. But anyway, they have a lot of talent, and they're underachieving, and I think that's it right there. You know, had they been winning these games, there's no question O'Brien's still here, but they made such aggressive, monumental moves in the offseason and over the last year in general, and then they open up 0-4, and it just doesn't seem like the players are with them anymore. And I say seem like it because those are always, you know, that's always a tough thing to read, but I believe that's where we are, and that's why Cal McNair made the move to move on from Bill O'Brien immediately and go to Romeo Crennel and try something else.
How tough was it? How tough is it for anybody in this league? Because you've been in this league 18 years. How tough is it in this league to actually have both jobs? Despite what Bill Parcells says about buying groceries, how difficult is it in this league to buy the groceries and then coach it?
Yeah, I think that you need a guy who's going to be your GM even if you have final say. And if you look around the league, and I'll tell you, I mean, it's not just Bill Belichick and Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien might have had the title, but Pete Carroll has final say. You know, Andy Reid has final say. Kyle Shanahan has final say. Obviously, Sean Payton has final say. There are a number of guys that have final say and deserve it over personnel, but they have GMs who are grinding away constantly. Not that the Texans don't. They've got a full personnel department. You know, Jack Easterby's been a big help to Bill O'Brien in a variety of ways, but I still think it's tough. And I think that Bill made some really interesting moves. I mean, Hopkins, they couldn't pay him and keep him happy and pay everybody else at the same time, they determined, and they traded him. Now, I guess, you know, you can make that argument that that needed to be done because of those reasons. You know, you couldn't pay Laremy Tunsil, Deshaun Watson, and DeAndre Hopkins on your offense. It probably wasn't going to happen. But what did they get back in return? And I think that was always a real sore subject with the fan base and the media, that they got a second rounder and David Johnson, basically, for DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, that is one of the elite receivers in the game. And here's the other thing. Opening 0-4 doesn't help with the offense really struggling. Mm-hmm. I mean, throwing for a bunch of yards, but, you know, you don't have Hopkins, who's such a clutch player. You need that big first down at the end of the game or to keep a drive going for a late scoring opportunity. He's your man. He's like a basketball player who gets a big bucket late in the game when you need it. So I think those things affected this team's performance and led to Bill O'Brien's dismissal.
Deshaun Watson's QBR is 57.3. What have you been seeing in him, Mark?
Well, he's not getting rid of the ball quickly enough in many instances, but he's still making a lot of plays. So I think that, you know, you're looking at one of the best quarterbacks in the league, no question about it. And I think here's another thing. You know, Bill O'Brien turns the offense over, or a big chunk of it, to Tim Kelly, who was with him at Penn State. And I think Tim Kelly is going to be a talented offensive coordinator. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't working. It wasn't clicking with Watson. I think that, you know, he was looking around a bit. Maybe there weren't open guys to throw to. Maybe there were, and he wasn't seeing them. But the end result is, if he's not doing the job well enough, or if the offense isn't performing to the level you need it, it goes right to the top man, you know, especially after you make all these moves. I know the schedule's been absolutely brutal for the Texans, there's no doubt, but they still should be finding ways to move the ball, especially with a defense that needs development. I mean, the defense clearly needed to come around, and they've been a slow-starting defense in the O'Brien era, but they've had some good defenses. I mean, they've been number one in the league during this time. In 2016, they were that way with Watt exiting the field in week three with a season-ending injury. So they, you know, there are a million different things that go into it, as you know, Steve, but I think ultimately the offense performing poorly, Watson not living up to his potential right now in year four, that all factored in, and that's another reason why they're going in another direction.
And Tim Kelly, of course, was a grad assistant for Bill here at Penn State. Remember him distinctly working with the guys on the line. So Romeo Crennel takes over, and Romeo Crennel has been in this spot before where he's had to step in as an interim and has done a really good job. Sometimes an interim guy inspires confidence from other people. What kind of confidence does he inspire, especially from the Texans defensive guys?
Well, I think everybody loves him, and everybody respects him, and he's one of the great defensive coordinators in the history of the game. I mean, he really is. I mean, the facts are the facts. He's super creative, and I think they have a good defensive coordinator right now in Anthony Weaver, so the combination is going to help. And I believe the offense with Kelly being free of O'Brien, he doesn't have to run things by him. He can just do what he wants. Whether it works or not, we'll see. But I believe that will kind of help to a degree. You know, very often when you have a disciplinarian-type head coach, which really isn't the best way to describe O'Brien, but it's one way to describe him. And then you sort of, you know, take your foot off the gas a bit from that leadership standpoint. You know, very often the team can sort of fly. Like, I was at Miami when Butch Davis left, and then Larry Coker took over, and the team took off. And I think that you might see something similar here this year, and who knows how long that lasts.
You know, it's interesting because you said that about Bill. I agree with you. I mean, I think people think he's a hard-nosed disciplinarian. Nah, that's not quite how to describe Bill. And you and I know because we've been around him enough. So now let's talk about what's next here. I mean, you're trying to break through. I'm sure it did not help that Minnesota had a short week to work with because of circumstances, and the Texans still couldn't win. They got the Jaguars next. What can they do to get themselves back into this thing?
Well, I think with I'm sorry, my computer's ringing here.
I hear it.
With the Jaguars, what you're looking at is a team that can put up a lot of points, and that's a problem for the Texans defense because they have not been able to stop people. Minnesota was really good run of the football coming in, and they still ran it for a lot of yards. Dalvin Cook is a really talented running back. Jacksonville has Robinson, this rookie who's, you know, running like crazy. Gardner Minshew, he gave the Texans fits last year because it was a very close game, a one-point game. The Jags had a two-point conversion attempt for the win. They could have kicked it and tied it, gone to overtime. They decided to go for the win right there. Leonard Fournette got stuffed at the line. This is the kind of game the Jags can give you. You know, everybody in the division knows you should never overlook the Jaguars. It's just one of those teams, and teams in your division are never scared of you. So this is going to be a tough one. They're dying for a win. We're dying for a win. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, it's just going to be very strange to call a game not involving Bill O'Brien. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the guy. He's done a ton, like you mentioned, for this organization. We've never enjoyed this kind of consistent winning and postseason appearances. I mean, my goodness, I don't take that for granted. Just like you don't take winning seasons for granted and bowl appearances. I don't take winning seasons and playoff appearances for granted. We've never won a Super Bowl, but my goodness, we've had some success.
One final question that I'll let you go, Mark, because I know you have something else you have to get to, and I really appreciate your time a lot.
Okay.
When you look at certain programs, I'm going to do this from a college point of view, and I'll give you a perfect college example. Jamie Dixon was at Pitt. He's now the head coach at his alma mater, TCU. And it got to the point where Jamie's winning, Jamie's winning, Jamie's winning. But then I'm in Pittsburgh, and I'm repeatedly hearing the complaint, well, he can only get us a Sweet 16. He can't get us any further.
Yeah.
So the move comes where Jamie, with some encouragement, takes the TCU job. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out for Houston. But I sense there's some of that attitude there, like, well, Bill can't get us to the AFC Championship. Or, you know, Bill can't get us to the – he can only get us so far. Is that some – I'm not talking about you or the organization. I'm talking about the outside of the organization. Is that some of the feeling you get from fans?
That's it right there. I mean, you hit it. That's it in sports. Look, I did a game with Dave Odom once. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be at UMass, and we played him, and he was coach at Wake Forest. And it was Tim Duncan and Marcus Camby, and, yeah, I go back that far. But I did a broadcast with him once, and we talked off the air, and I said, you know, what is it about coaching and needing to leave certain places? He said, after a while, they get tired of your voice. The players do, the fan base does, the same sound bites, whether you win or lose, and they just want something fresh, and you're not winning a championship, and they just want it all. And that's what happens in college, in the NFL level. Look, I was in Miami not doing Dolphins games. I was with the Hurricanes, but when they had Dave Wannstedt, Jimmy Johnson had left, they were making the postseason almost every year, but they just couldn't break through, and people there were livid. Well, how's it been since then? They've had two playoff appearances since the early O's. How does that taste? You know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to understand that you just getting there, I'm not saying it's enough, but you have no shot to win a championship if you don't consistently get to the postseason. Eventually, you're going to break through. The Texans almost did it last year. It didn't happen. And I'm not saying they should have stuck with Billy O because, look, maybe it's true. You know, I think the fans here were kind of getting tired of it or whatever, and they wanted something different. And yeah, be careful what you ask for, because you might not have that level of success you did. And I hope everybody understands that, because it's hard to win at any level. You know, it's hard to get to the postseason. So I'm just hoping they can get back soon enough.
Well, I'll go back to what you said originally in that first part of that statement in the last question. The Texans fans absolutely are not tired of your voice. You're doing great work, Mark, as always. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, Steve, it's always a thrill to be on with you. I love it. I'm giddy about it, so I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thank you, Mark. You're the best. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks. Take care.